Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. What there was an exchange of information. We have got that story, plus the last rock rebel, the revenge of Morrissey. But first, U.S. launched kamikaze drones against Iran, grabbing this first story from Zero Hedge. In the first 72 hours of Operation Epstein Fury, U.S. forces conducted more than 1,700 strikes across Iran on high-value IRGC military assets and leadership. Notably, U.S. Central Command indicated the operation also marked the first combat use by the military of one-way kamikaze drones, a newly added capability. Now, this is really something, James. I'll jump now to the Register, which of course always means we'll get a little more technical. U.S. struck Iran with copies of its own drones. The Pentagon, the pentagram as I like to call it, has confirmed that the U.S. forces struck Iranian targets using weapons that are copies of Iran's own Shahed 136 suicide drones. When Operation Epic Fury began on the morning of February 28th, involved in the action was Task Force Scorpion Strike, the U.S. military's first one-way attack drone squadron based in the Middle East. U.S. CENTCOM, part of the Department of War, responsible for directing military operations across the Middle East and South Central Asia, disclosed the unit's involvement in a press release. The first hours of the operation included precise munitions launched from air, land, and sea. Additionally, CENTCOM's Task Force Scorpion Strike, which is actually difficult to say, employed low-cost, because that's the most important way to kill, one-way attack drones for the first time in combat, it stated. Task Force Scorpion Strike, TFSS, was only announced in December when it was said to have formed up with a squadron of low-cost unmanned combat attack system Lucas drones. These have an extensive range and are designed to operate autonomously. They can be launched with different mechanisms to include catapults, rocket-assisted takeoff, and mobile ground and vehicle sense systems, CENTCOM said at the time. According to CNN, sidebar, Paramount Sinai won over Cuties Flicks for Warner. According to CNN Paramount, the Lucas drones were developed after technicians reverse-engineered a Shahed 136 drone from Iran, which the U.S. happened to capture a few years ago. A couple of extra related links on these. Drone strikes on Amazon data centers in the Middle East reveal the urgent need to defend innocent life. No, AI. That's what the article from Zero Hedge says. And another, also completely different story. Starmer faces dilemma after British base in Cyprus hit by drones. Begun the drone war has, James.
Unfortunately so. And I will just throw in one other related on this that shows the calculus that is involved in these drone strikes in these types of warfare situations. This coming from Japan Times. Iran's missile math, $20,000 drones take on $4 million patriots. So yes, we've heard all of the hyperventilating about, oh my God, the U.S. military industrial complex is running out of their expensive Patriot interceptors and other such things because of these $20,000 drones. And of course, dot, 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 what's the answer to this? Well, now the Trump administration is asking Congress for another $50 billion to wage their Iran war, so to replenish their stocks of weapons and, oh, replenish the stocks of Raytheon and Lockheed and all the other military industrial vultures that they are feeding, of course. So no surprise there. And if this sounds familiar, then ding, 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 you are paying attention and you always hear it first on Corbett Report and or Media Monarchy. So I will flash people back to December of 2024 when I was writing about this exact thing that we are starting to see take place in every major conflict right now, these kamikaze drone attacks. I was writing The Drone Wars. You are not prepared about exactly what we are seeing playing out right now. And here we are, and it's happening. And it's not, of course, just drone technology. It's all the latest whiz-bang technology that is playing more and more of a factor in these military operations. For example, Ice Age Farmer coming out of retirement seemingly with this post. Iranian cyber attack. Insiders warn of, say it with me, cyber 9/11. Yes, of course, people on the inside of U.S. intelligence is warning about the cyber 9/11 that's going to happen because of, check notes, who's the enemy of the week? Oh, the Iranians. Yes, Chinese, Russians. No, Iranians are the ones who are going to do it, I tell you. And when and as your Facebook goes down and or whatever false flag they pull, you'll know who to blame, guys, because you have absolutely no way of checking, but trust me, it was the Iranians. Or how about this one from FT, our good old friends at FT. Is AI playing a role in what is going on in Iran right now? Well, I did talk about the Anthropic angle on this and their brouhaha spat with the Department of War recently in my Iran War post podcast. But here's a new angle on that. How AI fakes are turning satellite images into war misinformation. Talking about how people are now spreading these photos online of, you know, this type of satellite imagery we always see in this with the, here's the area before the bombing and here's the area after the bombing. And it turns out the area after the bombing is an AI generated fake. It's not real. And even down to the exact same vehicles in the exact same location, supposedly in this photo taken a year apart, et cetera, et cetera. So yes, AI deep fakery nonsense is going to be a factor in these types of things playing out now. And now you have strikes on AI data centers is being an important part of these types of military operations. So long story short, I hate the fact that I can see this taking place with such clarity and that this is the analog of the Spanish Civil War. Late 1930s, we got the preview of World War II, which previewed a number of things, the ideological splits and the factions and what different fighting forces look like, but specifically military preview of World War II, as in the Goering's Luftwaffe and the bombing raids that were not a factor in World War I, were definitely going to be a factor in World War II. You got a little sneak preview of them in the Spanish Civil War. If the analog is we are in that 1936-7-8 period heading into the 1939 advent of World War II. If we are on the cusp of World War III, we are getting the preview of exactly what that will look like and how it will play out and what types of whiz-bang military technologies they're going to start unleashing on the public. Hey, guess what, guys? Guess what we can do? So unfortunately, we're seeing that. If people want to know more about that, well, I wrote The Drone Wars back in December 2024, so I'm calling it and I'm going to write The AI Wars, You Are Not Prepared, in my subscriber newsletter this weekend. Subscribe to The Corbett Report and you will be ahead of the game as usual.
The yellow journalism angle to the Spanish-American War can't be forgotten as well. Of course, the media's massive role in this. What is it? You supply the pictures and I'll supply the war. I'm not mixing up my wars.
Spanish-American War, Spanish Civil War, different. But it is a good reference because that is exactly, yeah, supply the pictures, we'll supply the war. The AI deepfake pictures in this case. Yeah.
So how about this one, though? Anthropic's Claude app is now the number one app on the Apple Store because of the battle with Trump and the Pentagon. People are now adopting. Don't use TikTok. Use Anthropic because that's going to totally own those Trumpers. This is also the same Apple App Store that didn't allow a drone strike app that showed you all the times they were killing innocent civilians. We'll put that up in the links as well. Again, it's just, James, we've been doing this for a long time, man, and just to see the same plays being moved and no one really seeming to stay up with it. I was rerunning my morning show from 15 years ago today, and it had a lot of coverage on the president who was launching this CIA-led war in the Middle East, complete devastation, journalists assaulted, world cheers as the CIA plunges Libya into chaos. The cast of characters may change, but the agenda does not. And really, I'd say if alt media was as woo popular as it is now, we might have been able to actually stop some of this stuff. That is how we get going on this New World Next Week, episode 621. Our second story takes us down south to my neighbor, Mexico. Forces kill El Mencho after U.S. help, and then violence hits multiple states. Mexico forces kill El Mencho, which of course translates to the Mencho. Mexico security forces killed Nemesio Ruben Osuera Cervantes, Nemesis Cervantes, the country's most wanted drug lord, following information that the U.S. assisted on. Trump has for months pressed Mexican officials to target drug cartels, and the U.S. offered up a reward of up to $15 million, assuming, you know, you call the right number when you see Luigi sitting in the freaking McDonald's. up to $15 million for information leading to the arrest of El Mencho, who led the Jalisco New Generation Cartel. I call them the New Power Generation Cartel on my show as a hat tip to Prince. They are a designated terrorist organization in the U.S. Mexican President Sheinbaum urged people via posts to her social media accounts to remain calm after violence erupted in multiple locations following the security operation in the western state of Jalisco that the Mexican Defense Ministry said killed El Mencho and three other CJNG members. Now, I think he got Sheinbaumed. But get this part, James. This is coming from Reuters. Romantic tryst led to Mexican cartel leader's capture, comma, death. A tip about drug lord El Mencho's romantic liaisons led Mexican authorities to the cartel leader's hideout in the small town of Jalisco State, where he was killed. Mexican authorities said in the first account of the ambush that spawned violence much across Mexico, which is, I really think, the main way a lot of people heard about this story. Because we also had some friends and colleagues, like our buddy Dan Dix, that was stuck there for a while. We heard about the aftermath and weren't really sure why all of this started. At least that's my own position. The U.S. provided intelligence to help pinpoint the exact location of the compound where Mexican authorities found the cartel boss, but Mexican officials underscored that they spearheaded the operation. They just didn't know where he was. There was no participation in this operation of U.S. forces. What there was an exchange of information, President Sheinbaum said. Defense Minister Ricardo Trevilla said information from a confidant of one of Azuera's romantic partners helped officials quickly plan the raid for the following day at the crime boss's compound, and that's all they say about it in this giant article headlined, Romantic Tryst Led to Mexican Cartel Leader's Capture and Death. But James, I guess honeypot booty cometh before the fall.
Evidently, and I hope that the friend of this romantic partner is now safely halfway around the world, hiding out in Timbuktu or something, because I imagine they've released enough information for the cartel to go after this person if they want. But anyway, that being what it is, I am certainly no expert on Mexican drug cartels and politics and what's going on there. So I can direct people. Obviously, people probably saw Dan Dix's updates as he was trying to get out of there. I also listened to a rare solo podcast from Hervoy Moric of Geopolitics and Empire, talking about his own personal experience going through the drug cartel blockades and things like that. So definitely some interesting insight there. But as far as I know, this cartel, this JNSG or whatever it is not a singular hierarchical structure with a singular leader and one structure that everyone adheres to. It's more like a group of organizations and factions that collude as need be. So
they sound anarchist.
Well, you know, there is an interesting sort of structure that forms around organizations like this that means that you can decapitate the head. It certainly does not mean that the entire organization is going to fall apart. And this is from what I've seen on this, this is a lot of people's takes, is that actually this just causes more of the destabilization and chaos and is not going to contribute towards, you know, ending the drug cartel. But again, I certainly am no expert on any of this. If people have good sources there on the ground in Mexico that are covering this, let me know. I'd be interested to hear about it.
Leading to more destabilization. I mean, that's the A number. I was going to joke. It's like, oh, are we talking about Mexico or are you talking about Iran again? Destabilization is what it is all about. And James, I really think, well, this is also the speculation about Cash Patel's. He way out kicked his coverage on a hot girlfriend. Everybody's like, she's an Israeli spy. But I think these drone stories, I think a lot of this, man, all kind of syncs as well with the story from the El Paso airport recently and the Cuban boat shooting thing. U.S. military used lasers to take down border drone protection drone. U.S. military used a laser to shoot down a seemingly threatening drone flying near the U.S.-Mexico border. It turned out to belong to Customs and Border Protection. So it's nice when the trash takes itself out. American citizen among those killed in Cuba boat shooting. So, James, we had the recent State of the Union address here in the States. It was quite the show. And as much as Secretary of State Marco Rubio has on his plate, man, you know he getting at Cuba would be a big get for Marco Rubio. There are a lot of moves being made on the Bland chessboard, but I want to talk about Morrissey. Pretty fantastic article from The Spectator. James, I believe you said it sounds like I could have written it myself. Morrissey is the last rock rebel. Two big events in the world of pop culture took place last Saturday. In Manchester, there were the Brit Awards, basically their Grammy Awards. One by one, the bourgeois brats who swell the ranks of popular culture blubbed like babies over the rise of the political group Reform. I'm genuinely terrified, said someone called Self-Esteem, because these kids are not all right, man. Britain is becoming a fascist state, wailed something called CMAT. The rise of Reform is a really bad thing, says the guy who plays bass for Wolf Alice. And then there was the Morrissey Show at the O2 in London. As those sons and daughters of privilege opined the rise of populism while picking up their golden gongs in Manchester, Manchester's most sullen son was enthralling a crowd of 20,000 down south. He doesn't quite play to shows that big here anymore in the States. He defended the waving of the British flag. He had a pop at cancel culture. He derided the jealous bitches of the cultural elite who lust after the scalp of any mortal who dares disagree with them. What an extraordinary spectacle. The fresh-faced, popped kids of the new millennium dutifully spouting every establishment talking point while some 66-year-old bruiser from the 80s sounded a stirring note of dissent. Please make the note how this echoes everything I've complained about in the COVID punk era of the last now 6 years. Morrissey really is the last rock rebel. Being at the Brits must have felt like being whacked over the head with a rolled-up copy of The Guardian. Being at the O2 felt electrifying. We knew we were in the presence of a man frowned upon by the self-righteous. Morrissey's crime was to deviate from the watery left slop that passes for progressive thought these days. He expressed support for Britain. He had a little button on his jacket once, too. A minor hard-right party. He lamented Britain's broken borders, a view now widely shared by armies of angry voters. And again, that's in his songs from 1992. He celebrated Brexit. So, of course, Moz was mocked on The Simpsons. Disney garbage zombie Simpsons, which accounts for nothing. The world's oldest record store in Cardiff, Wales, banned his albums. You can still get Bill Cosby and Gary Glitter and Puff Diddler there, too, though. Saturday felt like the revenge of Morrissey. It was one in the eye for cancel culture, the unpersoned stirring back to glorious life. Long live Moz, the man who knows the nation far better than his prim persecutors. Oh, and by the way, he does have a brand new album coming out this Friday. James, did you see me jump on stage and hug Morrissey, flouting regulations in the COOF era?
I Brock, believe the gift of that moment lives on, doesn't it?
It does. Huge thanks to Media Monarchy member Gerder for gifting my moment of jumping on stage. Brock, please put it on screen again. Whew, holy moly. There is a lot going on, and that was New World Next Week, episode 621. James, any Morrissey thoughts?
Yes, actually, I do have some thoughts, because it strikes me that this is, of course, the inevitable end stage of exactly what you've been documenting here on New World Next Week for years now, the complete death and disintegration of the idea of the rock rebel. And it seems like there's one, maybe two or three left, but basically none. And maybe that accounts for the fact that there are no rock stars anymore, as has been noted many times. Who was the last rock star? Because in the 21st century, someone who started in the 2000s, who is a rock star, a genuine certified worldwide famous rock star? No, not really. It's now pop stars, right? And it is interesting to me that every decade, every generation is given their cultural programming by the cultural programmers. And in the 60s and 70s, of course, it was all about protest and folk songs and coming together, anti-war and marching out on the streets, because that was the programming that was being given to that generation at that time. By the 90s, you started to have the changeover. I just saw a ridiculous clickbait video about that took a section of a Billy Corgan podcast where he was talking about being there at MTV in the late 90s as the switch was flipped. And they went from promoting rock and that idea to gangsta rap. And suddenly you can wave guns in videos and all these things that you weren't allowed to do before. And there was that cultural change that took place as a result of that. Then you move into the Zeros era. You got the T-Pain and others who are bringing the transhumanist. Hey, now you want to sound like a robot, because that's what's going to sell records these days, right? And that's the cool thing, right, kids? I'm one of you, fellow younglings. That is again, just a reflection. Every decade, they pull out the new programming that they want for this generation to grow up with. And we have reached the end of that road. And hey, it's amazing there are people like Morrissey still around who are actually still able to give an actual middle finger to the establishment. How few and far between is that these days? At least, of course, as we've talked about many times, in the mainstream, the big labels and all of that. But who cares about them? The real music, the real rock spirit lives on independent people who are not signed to the major labels. We all know that in this community by now. But anyway, yeah, I honestly, it is amazing to watch the complete disintegration of the idea of the rock rebel as a figure in pop culture.
And I sure haven't heard anything from the Bad Religion guys about their great, great buddy Noam Chomsky and all his connections to worldwide rape trafficking and Epstein. Because that's all Trump is. Of course, they only see conspiracies against their other sort of political Coke and Pepsi enemy. James, isn't it really? I mean, it's hit me a lot in the last few decades. How much of what the 90s were about? Suicidal babies and thugs. And I find myself wanting to listen to Poison way more than I ever want to listen to any of that crap. A bunch of the kids who are also yelling and crying at the Brit Awards recently threw a fit, and again, rightfully so, when they found out Casey Wasserman, the guy who ran their talent agency, he's all up in the Epstein files. So they all staged a big stink and all kinds of people quit, and now dude has to sell his agency because no one wants to work for him. His name is Mud anymore. Wait till they find out who owns all the labels that they signed to, James. Good grief. We run newworldnextweek.com, and that's a way to support Media Monarchy and Corbett Report action. You got our gear, you got our media, you know, DVDs like 9/11 War Games. And I get the exclusive audio of these New World Next Week episodes before they are published. I play the audio on my Monarchy radio stream. And James, here in about an hour and 10 minutes, you are going to join us in the members-only Media Monarchy community. And we're going to watch the Lone Gunman pilot episode, the spinoff from The X-Files that 25 years ago today, nearly pretty much to the hour, aired the pilot episode. It's that crazy one you may have heard about where remote controls are used to hijack commercial jets to crash them into the World Trade Center to start war for civilization. And something I was going to say earlier, James, it's all about the war profiteering, whether it's Destro to Rhett Butler. Man, it is about selling weapons to both sides. I don't care about sides. They care about the big, big money. Caring about sides is for the dinguses and dum-dums watching Johnny TV. James, I'm excited you're going to join us for The Lone Gunman. I've never actually watched the entire episode. I know all the links from 20 years ago in the heady days of 9/11 truth, man.
Yeah, I haven't watched it since I did 9/11 War Games, so it will be good to refresh my memory on that. But we should let people know an hour and 10 minutes from now as we're recording this, but by the time you've seen it, that's already well in the past, so you missed it. And that is because you're a dingus and dum-dum who is not in the Media Monarchy community. Don't be a dingus or a dum-dum. Sign up for Media Monarchy, and you can be part of this Discord community. You can join in these things as they are happening and support real, actual, alternative, independent media by real, actual, independent human beings. So put your money where your mouth is, become a Media Monarchy member, and hey, maybe become a Corbett Report member while you're at it. Last year, I did a special exclusive offer of giving selling signed hardcover copies of my book only to Corbett Report members. And I have another exclusive offer coming up soon only for Corbett Report members. So become a Corbett Report member and you can find out about that before it happens, hopefully. But I think we'll leave it there for this week. James, always a pleasure getting these stories from you. And always a bit worrying when we take a week off, because that's generally where major wars start. So we have continued that long trend with our week off last week. Let's not take a week off for a little while, okay?
Okay, all right. Well, and all the world will be okay. Yeah. Thanks, buddy. We'll take care, man.
All right, take care, buddy.